But first to the political news of the day. The battle lines are drawn and the contenders have stepped forward. We can expect a, quote, respectful battle between two Labor heavyweights, Anthony Albanese and Bill Shorten.
Both of us are absolutely committed to making sure that this is a positive campaign between us. I respect Bill. I believe he respects me as well.
Anthony Albanese there. Latika Burke, ABC political and social media reporter at Parliament House in Canberra, has been following the day's developments and she joins us now. Hello, Latika.
G'day, Robbie.
So do we have a definition for what a respectful battle involves in the Labor Party?
Well, you'd hope no dirt files. You'd hope no personal and personality attacks. I don't think these two gentlemen will, to be honest. They've worked in a team for the last 6 years or so in terms of being in the front bench or the outer ministry together. Of course, in the last few years, they've been in cabinet together. I think there's a lot of respect there for each other. So I think they're probably genuine when they say that they will have a clean fight.
I take it as well, there's a lot of pressure from their colleagues to make sure that this runs relatively smoothly at this point in time for them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of intense focus on this on this process, not just to see if it's a clean or not battle, but to see if it works and how divisive it might prove to be. There's a lot of worry about that in the party, that this could just open up Labor infighting for another month and then you've got another month's worth of Labor talking about itself at a time when perhaps the focus, fully fledged, should be on the coalition and the incoming government.
Mm. Just take us through how this is going to work. It's obviously a new system that they're trialling here under the spotlights. How is it actually going to operate?
So if Bill Shorten had gone in and said he was the only contestant today in the battle, it would have been all over Red Rover and we'd have a new opposition leader today. But because Anthony Albanese decided that he would also like this job, what we have now is nominations officially opened in caucus today. They stay open for 7 days. Maybe we'll see a wildcard candidate throw their hat in the ring and open it up to a three-part race. But look, I don't think that's going to happen. So officially nominations are open for 7 days, Robbie. Then we go to 2 weeks of sending out postal votes to Labor Party members. Then they come back and then the caucus votes. And it's pretty much expected at the moment that Anthony Albanese would win the party ballot. And in the caucus, Bill Shorten would overwhelmingly have the numbers there.
What kind of tension does that build up, though, in regards to whether the caucus is more important or the vote? Are more important from outside caucus?
Well, then it comes down to weightings, which is what they do in the UK system. So it's still going to be a very fair and transparent process no matter what happens. And if these two gentlemen are genuine about making sure this is a clean fight, then whoever loses will presumably work alongside the other, maybe even as their deputy, and hang up the gloves and it will all be fine and you wouldn't expect any undermining.
Mm.
In terms of who's more important, well, I guess this is the dynamic at play. Caucus has always been the most important when it came to this selection process for the leader. That's what got them into trouble when they deposed Kevin Rudd very suddenly and didn't explain properly to the electorate why they felt they had to do that. So this is a great tension. It's giving party members a bigger say. Some people in the party don't like that. We've seen that. We've seen it publicly. We hear it privately. And I assume that we'll hear a bit more of that over the month, because it is a fairly long period of time for us in Australia. It's not compared to the UK and it's not compared to the US, but it is a long time for us and it's the first time that we'll go through the system. So to have a month where you've effectively got three opposition leaders in Chris Bowen, the acting leader, and then you've got the two candidates, Bill Shorten and Anthony Albanese, it probably could get a little bit messy.
On RN Drive, we're joined by ABC political and social media reporter at Parliament House in Canberra, Latika Burke, speaking about the day's developments in regards to the opposition. You mentioned the bringing the Labor Party into line with the UK. I take it as well it brings the party into line with a lot of other international systems which are in use at the moment.
Well, this is not modelled on any particular system, but it is closely aligned to the UK system. But the UK system is a bit different. They get a much longer process. I think it's several months. And they also have a block for the trade unions to vote themselves. So you'd assume in this process that the trade unions will be represented through the party membership. So it's a little bit different, and it does go for 33 days once the nominations close, which people here who support this new process are saying is much sooner than the UK. So it is certainly, it's in line with the idea, and you know, in the US primaries, we see a fierce battle, sometimes a very dirty battle over there, as they fight for the leadership and put their credentials forward. And yes, it means a lot of this is played out in public, which can be quite corrosive at the end of the day. And we saw that, I think, between Clinton and Obama. And it does mean that the campaign can get dirty if the candidates go that way. But we have to take Shorten and Albanese at their word on this, that that's not the route they want to go down, that they want a serious policy debate, and that this is about perhaps two different ways of approaching what type of opposition Labor wants to be in the next 3 years.
Could this be damaging to Labor, just the personal politics aside, just for the fact that they seem to have no clear leadership decision for weeks?
Yes, I think that is a really big possibility. We won't know that until the end of this process. I think there's a lot of doomsayers right now, and there are a lot of supporters right now of this new process. Some want greater transparency about how the leader's selected. Others think that this is a farce and that this will leave the party leaderless in a crucial first month. Now, those who support this process say, at the end of 3 years, when we get to 2016 and we're looking at our ballot papers again, Robbie, is anyone going to remember the first month of the Abbott government and distinguish that in terms of Labor and how the leader was chosen? I would think probably not, and I think most in Labor would concede probably not, even if they don't like this system. But, you know, early impressions are also crucial. And if Tony Abbott were to make a big mistake in his first month and he was effectively to go unchallenged, that would be a problem. Or if there was confusion or a mixed message in how it was challenged, I think that would be a problem. I mean, for instance, today, Indonesia has pretty much slapped down two critical parts of Tony Abbott's asylum seeker policy. That's turning back boats and buying back fishing vessels in Indonesia, right? Now, there is no one in the Labor Party who could comment on that today, because their roles are undefined. Now we know that the frontbench positions are going to remain for the next few weeks as they were in government, but that was not clear earlier this morning.
What about the interim leader, Chris Bowen, though, Latika?
So, yes, that certainly does change it from now on. But just for example, today, there was a huge vacuum there, and that was a really, really big story. And that was a very critical story, I think, which Labor couldn't make any traction on or couldn't even comment on because they were paralysed by their own internal divisions. So Labor will want to move on from that very, very quickly.
Bill Shorten's named Tanya Plibersek as his likely deputy. Do we have any idea at this stage who Mr Albanese would nominate?
No, he says he doesn't want to put forward a ticket and that the deputy would be chosen by caucus, and he'd be happy to work with whomever the caucus selects as the deputy, which is the old way of doing that.
The focus is now on Tony Abbott swearing in, which is on Monday, if I'm right, in the announcement of his cabinet. What can we expect?
I think it's really interesting. Abbott, in the first 2.5 years of his opposition leadership, was very adamant that the front bench he had would be the front bench in government. Now, there's been some fairly, I think, contradictory messaging about that, because on one hand, during the campaign, Tony Abbott was conceding publicly that the Howard government was one that was past its prime. But then on the other hand, boasting that a majority of his front bench were members of the former Howard government. Now, you can't have a team fresh and ready to go if you're effectively already conceded that that team was past its prime when it was in government last in 2007. So I think, personally, I think Tony Abbott's best move would be to shake up his front bench. He has no greater authority than he has at the moment, fresh after his win and with a mandate. He can effectively exercise authority over the party room now and in these first 6, I think 8 to 9 months, better than he will be able to in any remaining time of his prime ministership. So this is the time to do and make hard decisions internally. But there are a lot of people lining up for front bench positions, many of them more talented than ones who are in front bench positions. And the loss of Sophie Mirabella, I think you could see someone like Kelly O'Dwyer maybe promoted into the ministry, who might not have been expecting a promotion had Sophie Mirabella stayed.
All right, Latika, thanks so much for joining us on RN Drive.
Thanks, Robbie.
Latika Burke, ABC political and social media reporter at Parliament House in Canberra, with a little review of the day's events coming from the Labor Party. Robbie Buck with you, filling in for Julian Morrow here on Drive. Coming up next, we're heading out into the space, the final frontier.